Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having an absolutely spectacular day. I know. You're in Pennsylvania or you're in the Midwest and it's got snow and it's cold. You're like, pfft. I'm looking outside this window and I may need a jacket in the morning and then take it off in the afternoon. Hello. Anyway, what happens when people go to, everybody thinks I go to Florida, it'll be great. Now, part of the Florida thing is that it's like California's ugly stepchild, right? That's really what it feels like. It's the expression. Redheaded stepchild, is that what it is? I'm like, look, Florida's weather in the winter is in many ways better than Southern California, especially like Miami. Like you go to Miami and generally it's awesome. California can get quite cool. You know, I needed a jacket this morning in the high 40s. It was very frigid. It's like 75 right now. It's great. Anyway, lots of people go down to Florida and be like, I'm going to go to Florida when I retire. You know, it'd be great. And they're like, yeah, summer's kind of hot and buggy. And it's this weird juxtaposition, right? Like you got parts of the deep south in the panhandle of Florida and the meat of Florida. And then you have, it's almost like a incredible South American vibe when you're in Miami and in South Beach. It's, we talk about two Americas, it's two Floridas. But this idea of like an active retirement felt smart for Tom Brady. I don't have players. Get me somebody with players. I don't have somebody who understands a quarterback. Let's go to a quarterback whisperer. Mike Silver does a really good job for the NFL Network. He said, I spoke with Bruce Arians. He said that Brady picks out the plays he likes and we call them. I mean, Bruce Arians is doing the, you got me. It's his fault. I did it, right? That's what he's doing. The buck stops here. He did it. And the only thing Bruce Arians can say is, this is not my fault. This is all Tom Brady. My thing works. We prepare him. He doesn't deliver. And even if he was, and even if he is 100% right, like, you just, those aren't the things that you say. You just don't say it that way. I don't think Brady's playing well, and I don't think the offense fits him. Those things can be mutually exclusive. Okay? They can. They can go together. They can be mutually exclusive as well. This is Carson Wentz. He's not playing well. They've drafted poorly. Those two things are going at the same time. The same time. I spoke with Bruce Arians. And he's like, hey, Brady. Now, look, every coach does this. This is one of the things that Arians, in attempting to put the blame all on Brady, is simply kind of embarrassing himself. Every coach walks in on a Friday, they put together the game plan, and they sit down with the quarterback, and they're like, tell me what you like. I like this, I like that, I like this, I like that. Don't like that. Not comfortable in that, like this. I've talked with friends that used to work with Brett Favre. When Brett Favre was with the Jets, they were frustrated because Brett Favre was like, you know, he only liked things that had one back, had two wide receivers, occasionally a guy in motion. I mean, the guy in motion kind of helped him understand, were they in man, were they in zone. He wasn't really that much of a coverage reader, but he could read man zone. That's what he wanted. That's what he grew up, that's what he knew. And so we can say that Brady approved these general plays, but the rhythm of it, the style of it, the check with knees to it, and the personnel doesn't fit his style. That's like the big thing. It's a major point that I'm not sure enough people have hit on. Mike Evans is more talented in terms of just, hey, go get open, than anybody Tom Brady played with in New England outside of Randy Moss. So for 20 years, one guy had more talent than Mike Evans, and that's Randy Moss. And yet, I'm not sure Mike Evans is a good fit for how he plays. Whereas Edelman and Troy Brown and Rashay Caldwell and even Danny Amendola for a short period of time and Wes Welker, like those guys, they have to be precise. They have to be perfect because they're tiny. They're slot guys. They're generally mismatches, but they have to use that mismatch and find a way to get open. Those guys are perfect for how he plays and who he is. You know, he's just finding out the grass is not greener on the other side, and that happens. Any of us who've left a job and we're like, I've done that. And when I'm saying this previous to joining Fox, I want to make sure I point that out. You know, you're at a place for a long time and you get beat up by it and you're like, there's a little, honestly, of the, what the Patriots do is a little bit, honestly, of what kind of the ESPN thing that they do. When you're at ESPN, they're like, yeah, you know, we helped build you. They're right. They did. You started out at this, you started out making X. Now you're making 5X. You should be appreciative of it. They're right. You are. But you don't want to be judged as the mailroom guy when you're no longer the mailroom guy. Tom Brady doesn't want to be judged as the 6th-round pick when he's elevated himself to being a superstar. That's reasonable. That's one of the things that has caused many people, to leave ESPN in the last 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, is that they felt like, I understand that you're trying to treat us all as equals. I understand that you got a budget. I understand that you helped build me and you gave me this incredible platform, but there's competition out there. And then you leave and you're like, man, that was until kind of Fox came along and decided to do big things with radio or compete, you know? I mean, by the way, our radio lineup is the best, not only the best lineup, but, you know, three of the main hosts, we were doing it over there. We all said, let's go do it somewhere else. So I think there's a parallel there. And the truth is that the Patriots thing, though, it does, in fact, work. It does work. You know, I mean, take a look at that. We started the show talking about the flaws of Philadelphia. What are the flaws of Philadelphia? They re-signed everybody. They signed their quarterback to way too much money for way too long. It's going to kill them against the cap, right? Didn't draft well. Okay, Patriots haven't drafted wide receivers well. That's reasonable. But outside of that, they never signed Brady to some huge long-term deal in the last decade. They didn't. You know, it was a mid-level money, and then they would bump them up before just about each season. And when players are starting to get old, they would get rid of them a year early rather than a year late. They definitely wouldn't re-sign them long-term the way that Jason Peters or Lane Johnson have been. And now they're just too old to compete. And they make so much money, and they're leaders in the locker room. You can't tell them no, but you also can't play them because you can't play anymore. Brady's realizing that, you know, he was married for a long time, and it stopped being fun, and he chased something that was fun. But, you know, like, sometimes you just want to come home and dinner's made. You want to know where your spouse is and not be concerned. So I understand completely. And then the question is, how do you fix it? Because it's not working, and I don't think it's something that gets better. Because with each part of adversity, Bruce Arians has circled back to the defensive mode. Like, this is what happens with toxic relationships. Right, in a good relationship, when things go wrong, people sit down, they get really close to each other, and they talk through it, and they figure it out, and they admit fault, admit blame. Toxic relationships, everybody gets defensive, and they go to their corners, and they just try and always be right. That's what's happened with Brady and what's happened with Arians. All he had to say with Mike Silver was, you know what, we haven't been calling the right plays for him. That's on us. Doesn't matter what you say to Mike Silver. You can, all of it can be true. Hey, Brady lays out the plays. He's good with it. He's great in practice. He stinks in games. He looks over the hill. Like, he could say that to Brady. You can't say it to Mike Silver. Can't say it to anybody outside the building and at the press conference. All you got to say is, you know what? It's my fault. We got to do better. We got to put him in better position to succeed. We got to figure out how to work. He's too good a quarterback that we got to make him more comfortable. That's on us, not on him. But when you're in a toxic relationship, it becomes, no, I'm right, he's wrong. And he says, I'm right, he's wrong. And that's what we have here. I will give you a name for a guy that I think could fix it. Josh McDaniels. See, you might think, well, why would McDaniels take the job when you're only going to have Brady for another year or two? Okay. Well, one, you'll get the most out of Brady. Two, it's a guy who's a surrogate, a guy who believes in Brady. And I'm not sure he has many other job opportunities either. And by the way, you get him out of New England and you give him a pay raise and you say you're the coach. And even after Brady retires, you'll still be the coach. I think that's what makes sense. You keep Todd Bowles, their defensive coordinator, and you roll from there. But the toxicity of that relationship has still not reached its peak, but it's still super uncomfortable when neither wants to admit that they're wrong. Coming up next, Jim Harbaugh is asking Michigan fans to trust the process. I'll give you my thoughts on where Harbaugh and his program stands in the world of college football. That's next, but first, Bet Rivers Sportsbook wants to invite you to discover the complete sports betting experience. The foundation of that experience is a massive number of betting options on nearly every regulated sporting event around the world. And on top of that, live streaming of sports every day. There's almost always a live match to watch on Bet Rivers Sportsbook right on your phone. Bet Rivers features top-tier customer service, ready to answer your questions anytime, day or night. Plus, with the unique rush pay system, BetRivers Sportsbook can authorize most withdrawal requests instantly. Customer satisfaction is always their number one priority, and BetRivers will match your first deposit up to $250. Unlike some other sportsbooks, BetRivers only requires a one-time pay-through to turn bonuses into cash. Experience the difference for yourself. Here's all you have to do. Go to BetRivers.com. That's BetRivers.com. See for yourself. Must be 21. Must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, and Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, let's turn to college football for a second, right? Look, I have been a longtime defender of Jim Harbaugh. I have. I personally have believed he is the right guy for the job at Michigan. And obviously they're having a terrible, by anybody's standard, but especially Michigan's standard, they're having a bad season. Okay? And he hasn't had this type of year since his first year at Stanford. Now, let's set the record straight. He took over a Michigan program that was a mess. Brady Hoke was a mess. They had recruited better, okay, but Hoke wasn't a good fit there. Remember, he famously didn't wear headphones. He didn't call offense. He didn't call defense. Like, what exactly does he do? They had one decent year, but they weren't well-constructed or well-planned or well-thought. They won 10 games, won 10 games, won 8 games, won 10 games. Last year, won 9. It was a little bit disappointing with Shea Patterson. This was supposed to be the year, because this is the first year where he had a kid that he had actually recruited out of high school, Joe Milton, as his quarterback. And Joe Milton got off to a really hot start. They played Minnesota. They demolished him, and he looked great. And after that, he looked like a guy who was very inexperienced at quarterback, and he's since been replaced by Cade McNamara, who, again, another high school recruit. This one, you know, he's a freshman, but a high school recruit, and as high school recruits play, and they hadn't played well. So they're 2-4 on the year, and it's caused so many who, I know he's a weird dude. The college football coaches generally are weird dudes. There's just no way to put it other than that, you know? I mean, go through them. I mean, Dabo is, people around Dabo love Dabo, but he says some strange stuff, doesn't he? I mean, really kind of odd stuff. Brian Kelly, who I believe is an outstanding coach, really outstanding coach. Brian Kelly is a guy who, you know, at times, especially early on in his Notre Dame career, he'd get so mad. He would look like just, you know, red as like a purple grape and like he was about to burst. Saban, I guess, is normal, but even he's odd. They're all odd dudes. I think like Lincoln Riley's like one of these young guys, like, why are all these guys crazy? You can just be kind of a normal guy. And why are they all so nuts? I have theories on it. I mean, part of it is you're in a college town, you're the head of a football program, you're kind of treated a little bit like a god, but everything matters and affects your persona that you can't even control. What kids do, what coaches do, what their families do, what they tweet, whatever, that like all reflects upon you. So you have to kind of, you have to almost have this kind of godlike way in which you watch over everything. But Brian Kelly's the perfect example of it. Go back and look. In 2016, Brian Kelly came off a 10-3 year where they lost in the Fiesta Bowl. That was the Fiesta Bowl where they got demolished by Ohio State. Jalen, what's the kid from the Cowboys? Jalen Smith. Remember, he tore his knee. It was terrible play, really awful play. That's where they lost in the Fiesta Bowl. The next year, and all those guys declare for the draft, and then he had a bunch of guys suspended the next season. They go 4-8, and people are like, oh, it's over. Here's Jim Harbaugh talking about the state of his program.
There's disdain for the process by some, but you know, to us, that's the whole ball game. And so keep
what
coaching,
do you mean
keep
by,
learning.
Yeah. What do you mean by disdain for the process?
I think sometimes, I mean, outside of the program, I think people, I mean, very results oriented, you know, not as, and the process to us is, you know, is very important. So,
I mean, like, look, he's speaking in vague terms. And if his process is, look, I got two young quarterbacks. We didn't have a spring. We didn't have a good fall camp. We didn't know if we were going to play. Then we do play. And, you know, Wisconsin's really good. They kicked our ass. Indiana's really good. They kicked our ass. Michigan State is not really good, but Michigan State, as bad as Michigan State is, they did just beat, didn't they just beat Northwestern, who was leading the other division? Yeah, they did. I mean, it's just a weird year. And I don't know, has he earned the equity to have a bad season? I think the answer is yes. Process for him is about recruiting the right guys, is about, you know, playing young players and watching them get better. Sometimes you're going to take some L's. Like, I don't think this idea that he's got to somehow crawl his way back to the NFL, I don't agree with or understand. You know, the other part of the process is also like turning these young guys into men, and sometimes they're going to have to learn to deal with adversity. So maybe it's I'm too much on Team Harbaugh. So maybe they're too much on Team Harbaugh, but I do believe that this happens way too often is if you believed in a guy and his process before he had the bad year, then the bad year has to be taken just as it is. This is a weird year. I believe in James Franklin. Their win over Michigan was their first Big Ten win. Doesn't stop me from thinking James Franklin does an amazing job. And James Franklin's been helped out by the fact that his best running back and his best player opted out. His best running back got hurt, you know, and they're kind of patching things together. And it's good explanation more than excuse. But the results don't make me think that James Franklin doesn't know what he's doing. The same can be said for Jim Harbaugh. Do I think he's great at communicating with the media? No, but I would say that most of these guys aren't. They're just not. Let's get you to Dan Beyer, find out what else is going on. Dan, what do you got?
Can I just add one thing to that conversation? What I just find amazing with this whole Michigan situation is I think that maybe Michigan fans are asking the wrong question, and this may kind of show the problems with the program, is they're wondering why they aren't competing with Ohio State or why they can't compete with Ohio State.
Yeah.
And not recognizing the fact that Wisconsin is a better program than they are. Like, think of 30 years ago. Like, would you ever think Wisconsin would be a better football program than Michigan?
No.
And it is. It is.
Well, let's have a discussion kind of quickly.
All right.
I agree with you that the current state, this current Wisconsin team is better. I do. I agree with you. Was last year's Wisconsin team or program better than Michigan?
Yes.
Why do you say that?
Because they were.
They won the game. They dominated the game. They got ahead early. But, I mean, they were, you know, down the stretch, it was kind of messy, right?
Michigan has not appeared in a Big Ten title game.
But the divisions are not the same. This is, okay, this is,
I know.
Actually, you're helping me. Okay. This is exactly what Wisconsin has done, is exactly what Kansas did when I was in the Big 12. Okay. When I was in the Big 12, and even when first in the Big 12, they had two divisions, but then they combined the divisions. But Kansas still played the North twice and the South once. And everybody knew, like, again, this is Iowa State was bad. This is when Missouri was bad. Colorado was bad. Kansas State was bad. This is before Frank Martin and Bob Huggins and Frank Martin took over. Like, you had literally on your schedule, if you played those five teams from the North, you were almost guaranteed to have 8 to 9 wins, right? You just were. And so, of course, you win the league every year. Of course you did. For Wisconsin, and I know they kicked Michigan's butt last year. I'm fully aware. Right? But you can't compare playing Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, Northwestern to playing Penn State, Michigan State, and Ohio State every year. Every year you play them. And then you play Wisconsin or Iowa or whomever. It's not comparable. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, no, that's fine. And it wasn't under Harbaugh's watch, but even in the years when the divisions were mixed up, remember the leaders and the legends in that sort of time? Wisconsin and Ohio State were in the same division. Wisconsin made two Big Ten title games during that time. And it's just...
I mean, the year before, 2 years ago, they got smoked by Michigan, at Michigan, 38-13, and they were 8-5. Like, I agree with you. Like, that's, if this is the discussion you're having, it's like, look, when he took over Michigan, Penn State was rolling, Michigan State was rolling, Wisconsin was rolling, Ohio State was rolling. It's way different than when either the, people forget that if you go back 10 years ago in the Big Ten, okay, 10 years ago, the Big Ten was kind of a joke. They'd get to the bowl games and they'd get eviscerated because they were just too slow to play with the SEC and the Big 12 and the Pac-12. Those days have changed, and now I still don't think they're SEC, but as we pointed out, Michigan State as much, they've fallen. Like, Michigan State has actually fallen off so much that they, Mike D'Antoni was fired, right? So Mark D'Antonio, sorry, was fired. So I agree with you in terms of the program momentum and how that's changed at Wisconsin. It's crazy how it changes things. Penn State, Michigan State when he got there, and I do think it makes it a harder job than it was previously.
I think that we're even having the discussion proves my point.
Okay.
You know, that, I mean, just really when you look at it, and it's not meant to be a knock at Wisconsin, it just shows at where Michigan really is right now.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Randy Mueller is going to join us momentarily. It should be pointed out that he has a ton of insight into the Philadelphia Eagles. His brother, Rick, who, of course, is a longtime NFL executive and a coach as well, used to work for the Eagles as a player personnel executive and then director of player personnel going back about like 4 years ago. So he knows where the bodies are buried in Philly. And I think it's fascinating, you know, because our assessment is, yeah, Carson Wentz looks bad. I think that's inarguable. But Howie Roseman took over and he vowed to be better than ever, right? And the problem was anything that was associated with Chip Kelly was gone. And let's dial back the clock. Let's get back to when we were rolling and we had Andy Reid and you know, Doug Peterson is a former quarterback, but a former Andy Reid quarterback and a former Andy Reid assistant, and let's go. And they made all the kind of classic mistakes of having success. What are those mistakes, you might ask? Overpaid a quarterback for way too long, right? Overpaid a quarterback for way, way too long, way too much money. Re-up too many older players. Hey, let's run it back. That doesn't work. It just doesn't. And they've been unable to fill the voids. What happens when you win is everybody wants a piece of what you're doing. They want a piece of that success. I like that Philly special play. Let's get the offensive coordinator, be our head coach. And that's worked, by the way, in Indy. I mean, it's pretty obvious that Frank Reich knew what he's doing as a play caller, and the play calling hasn't been nearly as good with Doug Peterson and all the assistants he's had to replace. So it feels like these are kind of classic mistakes of trying to live up to lofty expectations. You know? Lofty expectations. And when you get those lofty expectations and you get a quarterback with a huge contract and you miss on your last two wide receivers taken, you know, you don't have guys getting open. Your offensive line's older. You're just a mess. Remember when Lane Johnson was like, man, we have fun. They don't have fun in New England. How much fun has it been since they won a Super Bowl? Doesn't feel like a ton. And remember last year, they won the division. Now, they had a terrible record, but they won the division with all those injuries. Like, it was just so quick to bail out. Carson Wentz, to me, seems to be lacking in confidence. A crisis in confidence is a really, really hard thing to overcome. And I don't think there's really a fix in sitting him down. I think that's a mistake. It's a total mistake. Because what happens is, if you sit him down, if Jalen Hurts plays well, and I got to tell you, Jalen Hurts is just not that good, nor is he ready to be that good. He's very limited. But if Jalen Hurts is that good, they would have played him already. If he had blown them away, like, they overdrafted Jalen Hurts. But it feels to me, no one would argue that Carson Wentz isn't playing well. Nobody. Or up to his level. But we have seen great play within him, I think. Maybe this guy stinks. I don't know. But we've seen him play really well in the NFL. We saw him play really well last year down the stretch against the Cowboys. No wide receivers made it work. So I think it's very much a confidence thing and trying to find a rhythm. But to me, the bigger issue is that this franchise has handled winning a Super Bowl poorly. They re-upped too many older players. They drafted poorly. The quarterback makes too much money, and they're too locked in there where they can't move them. And this is just another one of the reasons that the Patriots are able to sustain success and the Eagles have not. With that, let's welcome in Randy Mueller, who is, of course, a former GM in the National Football League, and his brother, as I pointed out, worked for the Philadelphia Eagles. What are your thoughts on how to go about fixing the Eagles if you were in charge?
Hey, Doug, good to be with you. Boy, that's a loaded question. I'll tell you what, I did hear a little bit of your response, and I'm not sure I can disagree much with it, to be honest with you. There's plenty of blame to go around. I think Carson Wentz has proven he's a viable NFL quarterback, but you sure wouldn't watch it. You wouldn't see what we saw last year, the year before, if you just watched the game last night, that's for sure, because his fundamentals, his everything is just falling apart, and I agree with you. It's probably between his ears as much as anything. Having said that, I think Doug Peterson has let him down. I don't think their game plans have been any type of weapons that he can use are not there anymore. So the game plans, the weapons around him, it's a combination of a lot of things, and I know nobody wants to hear all that, but it's a little bit to blame for everybody involved. I heard you talk about the fact that they've overvalued some of the players, and I totally agree. You know, they're a 500 team since the Super Bowl, so they have overvalued some of their players that they had. They paid them too much. They're in cap jail already because of it. So it's not going to be an easy fix. It's going to take them some time, and who knows where the dust settles after this season to see what kind of changes this season brings on.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Randy Mueller is our guest. All right, let's get to the Tampa situation between Arians and Tom Brady. I just, full disclosure, it felt to me when he signed, like, you do realize that Arians has had success with these guys that are bigger, deep, the downfield throwers. He's the no risk it, no biscuit guy. But, you know, his guys were Roethlisberger, Carson Palmer, Andrew Luck. And they all took savage beatings. They all kind of got a little hurt, a little banged up, but they all threw the ball downfield. Brady, since Randy Moss left New England, it was all underneath option routes. He got rid of it so quick. You know, we'd ask analysts, hey, how come you can't get Brady off his spot? They're like, we'd like to. He gets rid of it too quick, right? We really would. I saw those styles in conflict, and now the conflict has become public. What are your thoughts on how that marriage is this far into the season?
Well, it's obviously a rocky ride to this point. I think their philosophies are struggling to merge in an off season, especially where we had no practice, we had no OTAs, we had none of that. I concur with your thoughts about the New England way. in that not only was their system set up for Tom to get rid of the ball, their personnel was set up for it. And it really wasn't set up for him in Tampa to do that. And I think it took convincing of Tom to get Antonio Brown involved. We heard Arians early on say there was no need for him. I think Tom just kept beating that drum because he knows Antonio Brown can get away from coverage on short and intermediate routes, just the kind of thing that, you know, Evans does not do. Some of their other receivers struggle to do. So Tom saw it as a weapon, saw AB as a weapon in working some of the magic that he did for so many years. It's a convergence of philosophies that I think it's going to be a struggle to solve. I could see this thing, and again, they might make the playoffs as a wild card team, I don't know, but I could see a decision being have to been made there at the end of the season as to if it's Brady or Arians going forth after this season.
I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. You know, it's fascinating. It's one of those things to where I think we do it as fans all the time, and sometimes personnel people do it. Randy Mueller joining us. He's a former GM, longtime personnel guy. His brother was a coach and front office personnel guy in the National Football League as well. It's one of those things we do as fans. So we look and we say, Mike Evans, Julian Edelman. Who wouldn't want Mike Evans, right? Who wouldn't want, you know, they had Amendola or Wes Welker or whatever. But the way in which Tom has to play, loves to play, is give me the guy that is exactly where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. That he can look at a defense and read on a third down option route what the right route is, what the right depth is, and I'll put that ball there on time. As opposed to the, you know, look at the guys who haven't worked. I mean, Chad Johnson didn't work going back to the New England days. And it's not that it takes away anything from Mike Evans or the rest of the wide receivers. Those guys are gazelles. Those guys, but not within the confines of how Tom is at his best. Fair?
Yep, 100% fair. I think it's hard to fill a job description or fill the job unless you know the description. And I think that's where the disconnect is. I think the job description was different in New England than it is in Tampa. And that's not to say that Bruce doesn't know what he's doing either. It's just a convergence of styles. Remember when Peyton Manning went to Denver at the end of his career? It was factual that they ran Peyton Manning's offense. Peyton Manning talked to everyone else, and it worked, right? They won a Super Bowl because of it. It's not that way for Tom. Tom's been doing things 20 years, and now he's the one that has to change. I just go back to the old adage of it's hard to, you know, show a dog new tricks. I mean, it's just really hard. And Tom knows what works. He's got his six Super Bowls. I mean, he's been there, done that. So if I'm Bruce, I probably would have acquiesced a little bit, but it sure doesn't sound like that's going to happen at this point.
I don't even know if it's the acquiescing, Randy. It's the public stuff. You know, today he comes out and tells Mike Silver, like, hey, look, we give Tom the plays. He picks all the plays, and we only call those plays. Like, that's why are you telling anybody anything other than, you know what, we got to make it better so Tom Brady can be Tom Brady. That's on us. Like, why? I understand that you may think, hey, this is Tom said he'd be coached just like anybody else, but that's in private. In public, completely different. I can't think that Brady is happy with that.
I just think Tom's gone from one extreme to the other. I mean, you know, you'd never hear any of that talk in New England, right? And Bruce is just one of those guys that just says it like he thinks it is. Doesn't mean it is like that, but it's like he thinks it is. So it's a total different world for Tom. I don't know how it ends. I don't know that it's going to end great, but I think they'll find a way to patch it and get through this year. And like I said, they may end up as a wild card team, and who knows what happens going forward. But I just don't see it being a long-term marriage, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Randy Mueller joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Boy, Aaron Rodgers looked good the other night, and it's hard because the Bears, it felt like the defense was so upset at the offense that they even waved the white flag. It was just a pitiful performance. On the other hand, here's a Packers team that we know how to beat them, right? You've got to run the football and keep him off the field and frustrate them, pressure Aaron Rodgers. But I look around the NFC, and everybody has some massive flaw, right? I'm not convinced the Seattle's defense. I'm not convinced that Drew Brees, if he comes back, will be able to throw the ball downfield. And the Packers have already beaten them. We mentioned Tampa. Like, we go around the league, and it's – so you tell me, are the Packers tough enough to win a Super Bowl, to get to a Super Bowl?
I think it comes down to matchups, and what I mean is who they play. That's really what it is for me. It's the individual matchups once you get into the playoffs. I trust the Packers as much as I trust anybody else in the NFC. I may trust the Rams second, but just because of the coach. Yeah. So I don't know. I think I'm going to bet on Green Bay maybe figuring it out more on offense because Aaron Rodgers than anything else. So I'm with you. Everybody seems to they do have some flies. Maybe, you know, we have the Steelers in the AFC that are kind of running away with things to a point, but I think the Packers are going to be there at the end. I really do. I think Kansas City is going to be there, and you have some very few teams that you trust fully, like you say.
If you're Pittsburgh, how do you handle these next two games? You didn't have a bye week, but you did have kind of this extended time where you're up in the air. Do you change anything? Do you sit anybody? Do you rest anybody? Do you take anything off, considering you have two games played so close together?
I don't think you do, Doug. I really don't. I think Mike Tomlin's the perfect coach for this, and every time you hear him speak, you just say, gosh, he gets it, right? And that's the case here. I mean, they've had a mini bye. He's turned a negative into a positive. Hopefully they'll be healthier, you know, at least to start this week. I think if the game gets out of hand or if something crazy happens, sure, then you got to sit some guys. But it's about momentum. It's about carrying through and trying to generate enough momentum that your guys are confident, but they're confident from playing, not confident from reading about how good they are. So it's a tough one to follow. We still have four or five games left, so I don't think they can take their foot off the gas in any way. This is the hand they've been dealt. I don't doubt that Tomlin will have them ready. I haven't heard any chirping, any complaining from them like I have some of these other outfits when COVID enters into their decision-making. So I think the Steelers are really in a good position.
Randy, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate your time, your incredible insight with your years of working in this league. Thanks for being our guest on Fox Sports Radio.
Anytime, Doug. Good to hear from you.
All right. The pleasure is all mine. Randy Mueller, good dude, former GM, National Football League, joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. How much blame does Kyler Murray get for back-to-back losses for the Cardinals? I'll tell you next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time, we like to play for you a portion of a previous show on Fox Sports Radio or Fox Sports 1. We call it...
And now...
What does the Fox say? One of my favorite hosts in all the sports radio landscape is Big Ben Mahler. I've listened to him for years. Great to be a teammate of his for the last 4 years. He was on late at night talking about Kyler Murray after losing the Cardinals' second game in a row.
And Kyler Murray, at this point, is akin to a Coney Island sideshow. As a passer, he comes up appropriately short. He does. And you just can't take him seriously or the people that prop him up, the fanboys in the Arizona media and the diabolical Cardinal fans. There's not many of them. But what do I mean? If Kyler Murray is unable to run, if Kyler Murray has to play with his arm, he has almost nothing. He has almost nothing. Without the ability to run, and he has to only throw the ball, then Arizona has almost no chance to win. For example, in this game, Arizona, against the Patriot defense, they were able to check Kyler Murray. They held him to 31 measly yards on 5 carries. That's it. 31 yards on 5 carries for Kyler. And he has been exposed as an imposter when forced to win games with his arm. His goose is cooked. It's not my opinion. It is a fact.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to disagree with Ben in this. I've seen him make plenty of throws. Now, do you want to limit how much he runs or how much he kind of threatens you with the run and make him throw from the pocket because he's small? Absolutely. Absolutely. It should be pointed out that they had 12 passing first downs, 9 rushing first downs. Okay. That's 21 first downs. Excuse me, 23 first downs. The Patriots had 16. They were better on third down, 6 of 14 as opposed to 4 of 11. They had more passing yards. Granted, not great, 160 to 69 yards. They only gave up 2 sacks as opposed to 3. Like, there was a lot of... This is one of those weird games where Arizona had a 10-0 lead. It was 10-7 at the half, and they get nothing going. He did throw a pick. And that was the big turnover, and that changed the game. But they dominated the game in terms of time of possession. This was one of those absolutely fluky games that they lost. Do I think he's the greatest quarterback of all time? No. Do I think he can throw? Yes. I mean, look, he throws it better and more accurately than Lamar. He's got a better arm than Baker. He's little, and there's some things going to hold you back. I don't know if he can become Russell Wilson, but he's as close to Russell as we've seen since Russell. And I think that's a fair way to look at it. What does the Fox say? Doug Gottlieb show here on Fox Sports Radio. College basketball taking place right now. USC and BYU, I believe, are about to wrap that thing up. Texas dominated Indiana, and I watched Indiana's game last night, and it was so impressive how they played against Providence, and they were the opposite of that earlier. I mean, just the exact opposite of that earlier today. It was just one of those, eesh. Oklahoma State Providence is later on tonight. That should be a good one on FS1. We haven't gotten into the Schroeder stuff. Dennis Schroeder basically announced, I'm the captain now. And Victor Oladipo is like, who said I want to go somewhere else? I don't want to go somewhere else. I can tell you what that is all about. All right, coming up next, though, Carson Wentz is failing. The Eagles are failing. But the story is more about the organization than it is the quarterback. I'll explain. Upcoming next, The Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.